So now that I've gotten through our housekeeping slides and announcements, I would love to introduce our first speaker. This is Dr. Nick Savdalis. Dr. Nick Savdalis is an experimental psychologist with a PhD in behavioral decision science from University College London. He is currently appointed senior lecturer in the Imperial Center for Patient Safety and Service Quality, which is affiliated with the Department of Surgery and Cancer of Imperial College London. Nick is director of the Non-Technical Skills and Simulation Research Group. His primary interests focus on training and assessment of non-technical skills necessary for safe healthcare delivery, such as decision making in relation to medical or surgical treatments, or public health interventions such as immunization. Nick has led the development and validation of a number of assessment tools and methods that can be used to assess non-technical and decision-making skills in healthcare providers, patients, and the public. He and his research group are world leaders in developing and validating novel methods for effective training of these skills using psychological science methods and high-fidelity simulation technologies. So with that, I'm really pleased to turn this over to Dr. Nick Savdalis. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much, Christine. And, of course, thank you for the invitation to be here with all of you guys today. And good afternoon to all the participants of this session. I'm really glad to have you all here. So the aim, the part of the session that I will be talking to you, during which I will be talking to you over the next 20 minutes or so, deals with a number of psychological factors, if you like, and biases that we know or we have shown that affect the decision-making process that people go through when they consider having themselves or their children vaccinated. So what I'm going to try and do over the next few minutes is to first of all provide you with an overview of factors that affect or drive, if you like, vaccination decision making. And really I'm going to focus on factors that psychologists have spent quite a lot of time and effort trying to investigate. These are factors that relate to how people think, so cognitive factors, and how people behave in relation to others, so social factors in their decision making. And then I'm going to focus on a couple of phenomena that relate to how people's feelings in relation to immunization and immunization decision making. We're going to cover those in a bit of detail. And throughout the presentation, I will try to draw some lessons or some implications for public health and public policy. And hopefully by the end of my session, I'll provide you with some food for thought for subsequent discussion and questions. So to kick off straight away, presumably one of the reasons that we're all here today having this meeting is because we subscribe to this idea that immunization is a good thing, it's a good idea, it's an effective public health measure, and is one of the most effective public health measures that we have taken, if you like, worldwide in the last 100 years or so in terms of preventing disease and improving public health. But is that the case in people's minds? Is this how people perceive immunization? So these are some quotes on this and the next few slides. I've got some quotes which from interviews, which we carried out recently over the last couple of years or so with parents, so with mothers in the UK who were in the process of considering or contemplating, if you like, having their children vaccinated with MMR. So these are things that they came up with. For example, you can see here that there is this common thread of distrust or mistrust, if you like, to information that comes from a government, so the official information. And in fact, people have quite long memories that they go back decades thinking about occasions where the government got it wrong and they gave out the wrong advice. And these things do linger quite a lot, so they do tend to come out in the interviews that we do these days with them in relation to immunization. So this mistrust tends to extend itself to immunization. And in addition to this, people have their own lay theories, that's how psychologists would call them, lay theories of disease, lay theories of how vaccines work, and lay theories of the immune system. So, for example, we keep having quotes like these where parents are thinking about, they're talking about their children, their children's immune system, which is in development, and therefore, if you like, overloading it with a chemical, an additional chemical agent, which is how vaccines are perceived, is perceived to be often detrimental. And of course, in addition to all of this, parents, in the context of often very brief or very rushed consultations with their primary care doctor or their community physician, they just do not have the chance to talk about their concerns, or their concerns are brushed aside as non-scientific. But of course, that doesn't work very well with parents, and they actually complain quite a lot about it. So overall, if you look at the literature, what are the factors that people consider, for instance, when it comes to vaccinating, having their children vaccinated? So first of all, the factors obviously related to the vaccine. So people have their own perceptions of how useful the vaccine is, how risk-free it is, and whether they or someone in their close environment has had an experience of a vaccine adverse effect. They also think about these factors that relate to the healthcare system, the formal healthcare system, and the way parents interact with it. So what I've just said before, whether parents trust their government or the formal health services, like what we have here, the Health Protection Agency in the UK, or the CDC, or the ECDC in Europe, and so on. And of course, also whether parents trust clinical or epidemiological research and its findings. There's, of course, factors associated with the disease, the perceived severity of the disease, and, of course, the perceived susceptibility of the child to the disease. And this is a factor that can become quite problematic with diseases that are not very common these days, like, for example, measles. So recent generations of parents, young parents who have not really experienced, they have not seen what the results of a measles epidemic might look like and what the impact, their impact might be on children on a wide scale. There's parents' perceptions of themselves that play quite a big role. So what does it mean to be a parent? What is the responsibilities that parents think they have? So doing their own research and making their own decisions rather than just going and doing straight away what a government might advise them to do without thinking about it. And finally, there's a number of other factors, like, for instance, trust in non-official sources of advice and information, and also some deeply psychological factors like regret, which I'm going to come into in a moment. So let's talk about one of the two big phenomena that I will cover today. And one is this, the first phenomenon is regret, anticipated regret in decision-making. So what is this about? Well, this is research that covers the last 20, 25 years within decision science, if you like. And within that time, we've started investigating, there's a lot of research that has happened into how people feel at present about the decisions that they're making and the outcomes of those decisions in the future. So when we're making a decision, like, for example, when you make the decision to attend today's conference, you think about the chances of the conference being really bad and you regretting wasting your time attending one of those sessions. If your regret is high enough, that means that you're very unlikely to attend the conference, because effectively we do not like regretting our decisions. So humans are all regret averse, in other words. In a vaccination context, this means that when someone is approaching a vaccination decision, they think about the regrets that they may experience if they do vaccinate, and also the regrets they may experience if they do not vaccinate. So that's the process that's going on in people's minds. And if you look at this, that's a sort of typical psychological study. If you look at this slide, what you've got on the horizontal axis, you've got the intention to vaccinate, and then you've got two curves, two lines. You've got regret that people associate with vaccinating and regret that they associate with non-vaccinating. So people become more likely to vaccinate as their vaccination regret levels go down. Unless this happens, which is on the right-hand side of the curves, unless this happens, people are not very likely to vaccinate. But of course, this is a laboratory study, and does that hold for real people, real parents making vaccination decisions? This is American data from a few years ago on the HPV vaccine. This is an epidemiological model, and you will see what I've highlighted here, both the regret that's associated with vaccinating as well as the regret that's associated with non-vaccinating a child are actually significant predictors of the real decision to vaccinate in this sample. And we've got similar data from the UK. This is an earlier study that's focused on MMR. And again, if you look at the highlighted box, you can see there's all sorts of regrets came out significant in this model. And in fact, the conclusion from this study is that regret is the best predictor of the anticipated regret, in other words, is the best predictor of intention to vaccinate and real vaccination behavior over and above demographic predictors, which is quite significant from a sort of psychological point of view, if you like. Now, of course, we're talking here about people thinking now about the regrets that they may have in the future. And effectively, this is a forecast that people are making about themselves. So if this is going to work well, then what we're assuming is happening here is that people's regret forecasts are actually accurate. But is that true? This is a typical study that you find in the psychology literature examining whether regret forecasts are accurate, and the outcome of the study is that no, they're not. We tend to exaggerate our regrets quite a lot. So what happens in studies like this? You go and ask a group of people who are considering a decision, and you ask them how much regret they may experience if the decision doesn't quite work very well. And then you go to a group of people who actually made the decision, and you ask them, and it hasn't worked very well, and you ask them how much regret they actually experience. And the regret that they report tends to be significantly lower than the regret that the other group forecasts. So we're not very good at judging our regrets in this way. The same, you find exactly the same pattern if you take one group of people and you follow them up longitudinally, and this is what we've done. So we took people through laboratory tasks, and we asked them how they think they're going to feel in 5 days, 5 days after the task, if they fail at the task. They then failed at the task 5 days later. Their regrets were not as pronounced. They were not as high as they thought they would be. So what does all this mean? Well, this is what it means in the context of vaccines. We can see, if you look at the black bars on this graph, this study is done in relation to the flu vaccine, so it's influenza vaccination we're looking at. You look at the black bars, these are people who thought they all got the flu vaccine, but they actually thought they would experience much more regret they regret that they actually ended up experiencing once they have had the vaccine. Again, this is a quite consistent pattern with the rest of the literature, which suggests that we overdo our vaccine-related regret as much as any other regret. So in terms of policymaking, I think we should consider focusing people's thinking on the regret that may stem from non-vaccination rather than the regret that stems from vaccination, which is almost the natural way that people tend to think. And also, we should consider developing interventions that allow people to see that their regret forecasts are actually not true, and their actual regrets are much lower than what they think these regrets are going to be. And perhaps this is going to have an effect on their vaccination. They'll improve, if you like, their vaccination decisions. A related topic from a psychological point of view in terms of how people think about vaccinations is what I've called here omission bias. So what is omission bias? When we analyze, from a psychological point of view, when we analyze people's decisions, what we see is that people evaluate how good or how bad a decision is, not in absolute terms, but in relative terms. So we tend to evaluate our decisions in relation to a reference point, which psychologists call status quo. Now, what is the status quo? Why is this important? Because typically, particularly if things are do not go very well, we tend to feel worse about negative outcomes that result from actions. So when we took the action, we departed from the status quo, and it didn't quite work very well, and we feel really bad about it. And we feel worse about it than we would have felt about the very same outcomes had those outcomes resulted from a non-action, an inaction, had we stayed with the status quo. And let's make this a bit clearer in the context of vaccination. Vaccinating oneself or one's child is perceived as an action. The status quo in people's mind is not doing anything, i.e. not vaccinating. That means that if you do go ahead and you vaccinate, you perceive this as a conscious action, a conscious decision, and therefore if you do receive a poor outcome out of this, for instance, a vaccine adverse effect, then you feel this is your fault and you really, really regret it. And we've already seen what's the impact of these regret forecasts. You're not very likely to engage in the behavior. You're not very likely to vaccinate if you think like this. If, however, you think that, if you think about non-vaccination, not doing anything, this is actually perceived psychologically as a status quo. And it might logically feel to us that, well, actually, not vaccinating is a decision in itself. But this is not how people feel. Non-vaccination involves, for most people, not a conscious decision. This is how they think about it, and therefore a poor outcome. For example, a child contracting measles or any other disease is seen as an act of God. And this is actually, this comes from our interviews. This is how people perceive it. Therefore, they don't feel personally responsible. They regret it less, and they're more likely to stick to the status quo. This is why this is psychologically important. Now, does this apply to vaccination decisions? We did a small study a few years ago with a small sample of web-based participants, which were mostly mothers attending various web forums. So 142 participants. And what we wanted them to do, we gave them a list of symptoms, durations of those symptoms, and risk of those symptoms. And we told them to evaluate how bad those symptoms were in relation to whether those symptoms were coming from a disease and whether they were coming from a vaccine. And just to show you those symptoms, here is the list, the full list of what we gave them. So you can see various levels of likelihood, from very low likelihood all the way to 1 in 10, 10%, that's the green box. In the pink box, you've got the whole range of symptoms, from really minor symptoms like crying and irritability for a child, this was, all the way to brain damage and death. So clearly permanent disability there. And look at the durations, from less than 5 minutes all the way to lifelong, i.e. permanent disability. That's the range in the blue box. And we then asked them to evaluate them. And this is the actual table from our paper that got published in Vaccine a couple of years back. And what you basically see, that because it's quite a busy slide, for most of the items on this table, when we told the parents that they're evaluating a symptom or a duration or anything else that comes as a result of a vaccine, they were much, much stricter, so significantly stricter in their evaluations than they were for exactly the same symptom if it came as a result of a disease. And look at the highlighted box. This is just a short-term symptom. What do parents consider a short-term duration for a symptom? And you see that if that symptom is associated with a disease, they say that short-term is about less than a day, so 24 hours. But if the very same symptom is associated with a vaccine, all of a sudden they say, well, short-term means less than 5 minutes. So you can see how stringent people are in their evaluations of vaccines. And we think this is psychologically because they see vaccines as the departures from the status quo that I mentioned earlier. So what does that mean from a, again, public health and public policy point of view? First of all, we should develop intervention, or we could develop interventions that portray non-vaccination as a conscious decision. So try and combat, if you like, this omission bias. And equally, we could try and explain to people that actually vaccination is the status quo. This is what most people do. This is what their peer group does. And therefore, opting out of it and going for a non-vaccination should trigger the omission bias, but if you like, in a positive direction, so not against a vaccine. So these are potential ways of combating this this bias. So just that, this is just a slide I came up with to just to demonstrate to you that all of this is not just dry psychological science in the lab. This is just a quick search of mine, and what I've highlighted there is a posting on a website, on a web forum by a participant. I've no idea who they are, but you can see there that they're probably a mother. It's probably mother talking about or thinking about their, her child. And she posted this question, does anyone regret not vaccinating? So presumably this is the process that she's going through. People are thinking in terms of regrets or omission bias. They are thinking about the psychological implications of their vaccination decisions, and therefore the interventions like the ones I've described are likely psychologically viable, so we could consider them. So to sum up, I think, first of all, in terms of where we are at the moment, I think we have an emerging body of psychological evidence-based, empirical evidence, that suggests the presence of some of those biases and how to go about addressing them. And I think what we should be doing in the future is look at public health interventions around immunization that take these biases into account and try and develop tools that capture people's subjective perceptions and emotional reactions. And this we have tried to do across a number of regions in the UK, looking, for instance, at the efficacy of an MMR catch-up campaign. So what you have here on the left of the slide is a an evidence-based survey tool that we developed to capture these perceptions and see how they related to the campaign. So what I'm proposing to you here is we need tools like that to be able to longitudinally assess those perceptions and those biases, which brings me to the second point for the discussion. We have a lot of relatively small-scale research that's specific to a disease or to a vaccine, and I think what we need from now on is multi-center, large-scale, probably international research that taps into these factors, tries to understand and explain how people make these very basic cognitive processes in relation to vaccination. And I think that can give us an edge, and that can inform public policy and public health interventions. So I hope this is useful food for thought, and I'd be very happy to take questions at the end of the session. Thank you very much.